You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Once again, Mallory Pipey, text line 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we will get to your text before we wrap up the program. Joining us now, we do it at usually most of the time, 90% of the time, this time every Friday, our good friend from Josephine, that's in South Baldwin County, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion. How are you, Senator?
I am doing great. Glad to be south of Montgomery, for sure.
Well, at least you're south of Montgomery, not north of Montgomery, either way. Hell of a, let's kick it off here, I guess, the big topic before we get into Baldwin County Gate. Gambling dead. Senator Gudger making that announcement yesterday. Your reaction?
Well, first of all, I think Senator Gudger did a really smart thing there, which was if it's going to die, put it out of its misery, right? I mean, let's not end up with the protracted, problems we had last year, and instead say, okay, if this is the bill and this is what the sponsor wants to put out there, what's the reaction to it? If he's negotiated all he can negotiate on it and it doesn't have the votes or near enough votes, and I understand, the vote count was fairly definitive, then let's just stick a knife in it and call it done and move on with the other important things that we have to do. And so I certainly don't have a problem looking at the issue. I know there are others that would rather it never be discussed again, but I can promise you it will always be discussed until we do something with it. But at the same time, if the bill's not where the bill needs to be and the votes aren't there, then Senator Gudger was very smart, very, very smart in going ahead and saying, nope, it's done, it's over, and we'll come back next year, the year after that. But it's not gonna ruin the rest of the session.
Well, and fair enough. I mean, there was just really no appetite. I didn't think this year. And if you're if you're Senator Albritton, I mean, to get this done, I think you had to start like 6 months ago at minimum, right? Like this needed to be, there needed to be a bigger buildup here.
Well, maybe. I mean, look, the pieces, again, and I think Senator Albritton's even said this, the pieces of this are like Legos, right? They're not complicated. It's just figuring out what combination works for everybody, and everybody includes the legislators, right? And so you, in order to get something passed, I know people hate hearing this, and I hate that it's the case. There are parts of this game that I don't like, but it is the game. But in order to get this passed, you have to get the players, if you will, on board. You have to get the industry on board with what you're doing. And Senator Albritton didn't have those people on board and didn't have the members on board with what he was trying to do. And so that's just a recipe for nothing working out. And so, does it take time? It can. It can also be done quickly if you've got the right pieces and parts together to make it happen. And so it's one of those things. It'll keep coming up until it gets fixed. I hope it gets fixed in the most conservative way possible. I'm not mad that we don't have all this expansive gaming. I am frustrated that we still have all of the illegal stuff going on. And so we'll have to see how that works out in future discussions.
Well, and I think this is a big deal, what happened, because long-term, Senator, we're pretty sure you're not going to get gambling next year, right? It's just election year.
Right.
It's just not
Correct.
Something you do, okay?
Correct. Yep.
Who knows what happens after that? What does the world look like? Like, who's the governor? How long might this go on? This discussion could go on forever and ever and ever. Who knows? But, that what if we could start looking at this in piecemeal, get an enforcement mechanism to crack down on illegal gambling, as you just said, something separate. Yep. It's not, we don't need to do this comprehensively. What if we now finally are in a place where we could do lottery separate from all the other hangers-oners with the casino gambling and the sports betting? I mean, I think what happened with Senator Gudger shutting this down is very significant.
Now, listen, I agree with everything you've just said, and I think those are all options. I also worry about the other side, which is what happens in a new quadrennium with a completely new governor and a completely new, you know, not completely, but I mean, heck, the last quadrennium, we turned over a third in the House, right? What happens when you've got all new players? You know, my first year, my first quadrennium, the House wouldn't take up gambling. My second quadrennium, the House was pushing gambling. What's it going to look like next time? And I don't know. And I don't think we know. Right. And so if we can, you know, the next quadrennium is a bunch of real conservative, you know, guys, and they don't want to push gambling. Great. You know, do the lottery, you know, cap it, move on, do the enforcement. I'm for that. Have been, will vote for that in a heartbeat. I just don't know. But history's shown us that. If it's not comprehensive, it's not been successful.
Comprehensive hasn't exactly been successful either, now, has it?
That's fair too. It's we've been unsuccessful every time, and so I don't know what the future holds. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm just not sure. I do worry about messing it up, and I don't know. Who comes after, you know, 4 years, 8 years, you know, down the road? What does it look like? I hope it stays conservative, and it is conservative. I just don't know.
Well, Todd Stacey and I are talking about this, like, you know, you've got to have gubernatorial buy-in. Now, we don't know who the next governor is going to be. We have an idea. He's probably down to, like, two people, I think, but barring some unforeseen circumstances. But the way it happens, and Ivy was somewhere in between, I think. But you have to have a governor who kind of runs on this, who makes this part of the pitch. And I don't think you can win a Republican primary in Alabama having gambling as a prominent part of your platform.
I don't think so either. I think you could say something along the lines of, you know, I'd be okay with, you know, a lottery, but nothing more than that or something like that. But it's up to the legislature. I mean, that would be, you know, what I would do. And that's where I am. You know, I just wish that, you know, I wish we knew what the future was going to, because it's going to be so impactful to the state if we do it. And I just don't want to do any harm to the state and what we've got going on that is good. But, you know, you have people that get greedy, and those folks are, yes, they're the gambling special interest, but they're also the folks, you know, my colleagues that say, oh, I want more money, I want this money, I want that money. And so it falls under its own weight sometimes. And it's just the nature of the beast. It is what it is, and we have to figure out how to navigate it.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating ride to watch, but you see a lot of hurt feelings after all of these. But I think, like, long term, man, you may get something moving with the next governor, but odds are they're going to have to make some kind of commitment before they're elected, and I don't think
maybe so. I will say this too. I think the speaker was really smart on this and played it really well to say, look, senators, y'all figure out whether you've got it or not. And if, you know, when we'll get engaged and we'll work with you if you've got it. But, you know, I think it was smart of him to do that. Kept us from getting, you know, in a ditch again. And again, I think he and Senator Gudger worked this well. Give it a shot. Let's count the votes. They're not there. Let's kill it and move on.
Remember that time you said, guys, you call it lightning in a bottle. I've never had something been more true, it seems.
Well, a blind hog finds an acorn every once in a while. We'll say that.
Really, congratulations, Senator. Let me ask you something, and this is more of a House issue, but it's just kind of interesting to me. This overtime tax about to lapse, this package of tax cuts in place of it, how do you feel about that?
I understand the theory. I'm not sure. I don't wish we just kept the overtime tax, but certainly the package with, you know, reductions in certain income taxes and reductions in grocery taxes impact a broader segment of my constituency than just the overtime tax. I do think that that's a positive as it relates to that. But I do also worry that we're not cutting as much taxes as we were with the overtime tax, and we're not incentivizing the working folks, you know, the laboring out there under hourly raises as much as we were with the overtime tax. But that's playing social policy with tax policy, which politicians love to do. But I'm just glad we're cutting taxes, and I'm not going to get in a fight about cutting which tax. Let's cut more taxes next year and we'll go after a different one after that. Our budgets have ballooned year over year, and I'm just glad we're cutting taxes.
Speaking of politics and social policy, how are you dealing with how's your relationship with Senator Albritton these days?
Oh, it's a little testy, but we'll be fine. I mean, look, he was very emotional in the committee meeting the other day. This is always an emotional issue when it relates to schools and school splits, but it doesn't have to be. I mean, look, this is a basic fairness conversation, and it is related to whether or not you should take, you know, tax revenue from children that you don't serve, don't ever intend to serve, and who don't want you to serve them. And that's what's happening right now in Baldwin County with this local tax distribution for education purposes. And so we need to fix it. And look, with Senator Weaver's bill, you know, we probably ought to fix it statewide so that we don't continue to have these really acrimonious, you know, divisions between counties and city school systems, and then, you know, consequently their delegations when they try to update, just simply update local tax law. I mean, this is a basic fairness principle. Anything levied under Title 43, the states already realized, hey, this needs to be split up by student population. I mean, we do this and with other taxes automatically. We should do it with Title 45 local law taxes as well. And so, you know, there's been a lot of hyperbole about, you know, oh, you're taking money from this to give to the others. The county school system is some $26 million better off for having left, you know, or having these two systems leave. And that's every year, $26 million a year better off to educate fewer children. They're not hurt, certainly not. They're actually enriched by it. There's more money coming to Baldwin County for public education because of these splits. And so let's just understand things change that are beyond our control. Let's embrace that change and try to do the best we can for all of our constituents, not just one segment of them.
Well, here's a rather dumb question, and this is, forgive me for not knowing this. If you're paying, if you live in Gulf Shores at Orange Beach, do you get to vote on the school board of Baldwin County?
No.
Well, then it's like taxation without representation.
It's not like that. It is exactly that.
I'm just saying, why is this so hard? Why are, and this is me ranting, and you're going to have to deal with it because, well, I had the microphone.
That's what Senator Albritton said the other day.
What the hell? I live in Baldwin County and like I'm a semi player in this, but it's a question of like right and wrong, and this class warfare stuff that these guys on the other side of this are doing is not a representation of what we should be doing in Republican governance.
I could not agree with you more. It is certainly not conservative to engage. And that was the thing that has just bothered me so much about the Baldwin County Superintendent Eddie Tyler's comments were absolutely, we need it more. These kids are needier and they need it more. And I even heard that in Montgomery this week. And I look at the schools in Gulf Shores that I represent. And by the way, I'm the only one that represents all three of these districts, okay? So I'm trying to do what's best for everybody, not just for one, but for everybody, and do what's fair for everybody. But I look at those kids in Gulf Shores in particular. Those are all Title I schools, Jeff. Those are all free and reduced lunch schools. And to say somehow or another, oh, they're wealthy and we should take from them because of that is not just, you know, offensive philosophically, it's wrong.
Well, don't we just have like the Monroe County and Escambia County schools come knocking on the door of Bay Minette at the next school board meeting and say, since Baldwin County has deep pockets, why don't we take some of that money from you because we have school kids that have needs here too? I mean, what's the difference? What is wrong with these people?
I do not think that it is a very principled argument. And that's the thing that gets me is let's look at this. When you have a motion involved in a decision to make, it's always good to take a step back, look at the foundational elements of the argument and apply your principles uniformly as opposed to making a decision that is based on a motion. And unfortunately, I think we're making decisions, as a delegation and even to some extent as a state that are based on emotions when it relates to this issue, as opposed to, political ideology and philosophy that I think would lead people to make a better decision.
Well, I think that's true up and down the board in Montgomery, but that's a whole nother discussion, what the hell's going on there. But I guess you had to do this statewide because there's a long jam at the local level, and you tried and you got pushback from some of your colleagues from where I am sitting right now, this part of the state near Birmingham. But this to me is like the only way this is going to happen is we do it statewide.
Well, and that was the goal, right, is to give some cover to my local delegation and frankly, to fix a problem. This is not the first time this problem's occurred, and it won't be the last time. And so if this has gotten this acrimonious here in Baldwin County, we can use it to instruct us on how to write state law that will prevent it from happening elsewhere. And so that's exactly why I intend to have this bill in committee next week, to talk about its statewide applications and how important it is for us to solve this problem. We have seen what kind of issues it can cause on the, locally. This is a microcosm of something that could and will happen statewide. And let's address it so that others don't have to go through this.
Senator, got to leave it there. We're out of time, but you've been very kind, as you always are with your time. So we'll do it again next week.
Thanks for having me.
All right. State Senator Chris Elliott there. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porras Show on FM Talk 106.5. Just here.